From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In recent weeks, Dr. Cairns has been pursuing a study of the law of God, a subject which is either totally ignored or vastly misunderstood by both ministers and laymen. In the course of this study, Dr. Cairns has emphasized that God gave the law to show sinful men their need of a Savior from sin. Yet it is also clear from the Bible that saved men and women have an obligation to keep the law of God, not the ceremonial or the civil law, but the moral law. In other words, the purpose of the law in the life of the believer is to produce holiness. Today, Dr. Cairns turns our attention to the true motivation for obedience to the law, love for God and love for our fellow man. It is here that we find the power of true Christianity. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to hear this brief devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection taken from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
Our text for this morning is found in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. This day is notable in English history for two great deliverances wrought by God. On this day, the plot of the Papists to destroy our Houses of Parliament was discovered in 1605. While for our princes they prepare in caverns deep a burning snare, he shot from heaven a piercing ray, and the dark treachery brought today. And secondly, today is the anniversary of the landing of King William III at Torbay, by which the hope of popish ascendancy was quashed and religious liberty secured in 1688. This day ought to be celebrated, not by the saturnalia of striplings, but by the songs of saints. Our Puritan forefathers most devoutly made it a special time of thanksgiving. There is extant a record of the annual sermons preached by Matthew Henry on this day. Our Protestant feeling and our love of liberty should make us regard its anniversary with holy gratitude. Let our hearts and lips exclaim, "We have heard with our ears, and our fathers have told us the wondrous things which thou didst in their day and in the old time before them. Thou hast made this nation the home of the gospel, and when the foe has risen against her, thou hast shielded her. Help us to offer repeated songs for repeated deliverances. Grant us more and more a hatred of Antichrist, and hasten on the day of her entire extinction. Till then and ever, we believe the promise, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper." Should it not be laid upon the heart of every lover of the gospel of Jesus on this day to plead for the overturning of false doctrines and the extension of divine truth? Would it not be well to search our own hearts and turn out any of the popish lumber of self-righteousness which may lie concealed therein?
Spread.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel, as it is presented by Christ, to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may simply call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Supplies are limited, so request yours right away. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
Thank you. We have had seven messages on the law of God. And now we return to that subject. We're going to be considering the passage in Matthew chapter 22. We'll commence reading at verse 34 to verse 40. Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. From our Bible reading, verse 37 through verse 39 of Matthew 22, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The Lord has summarized the entire moral duty of man in what the Hebrew Scriptures call 10 words, what we normally refer to as the 10 commandments. Then the Lord further summarized those 10 commandments in one word. The Apostle Paul referred to this in Romans 13 and verse 10 when he said, Love is the fulfilling of the law. The Lord Jesus Christ made very clear the meaning of that statement in the text that we have read together this evening. We tend to think of the 10 commandments as a list of prohibitions. When you read them, you discover that 8 out of the 10 are indeed couched in terms of prohibition. But the 10 commandments are very, very much more than mere prohibitions. Now let me just make a side remark, as it were, that the Lord had very good reason for issuing most of the commandments in this negative form, this prohibitory form. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. For example, the Lord knew the innate wickedness of the heart of fallen man. The Lord recognized the inclination of that heart to break every boundary and to seek to twist every precept so as to give vent to the inner corruption and depravity of the soul. The Lord also knew that sinners were quite capable of claiming the loftiest moral justification for even the wickedest of their acts. We have abundant evidence of that around us in every hand. How often do we hear Sodomites, especially those who want to pass themselves off as Christians, how often do we hear them claiming to glorify God and to give expression to God's love and even to God's justice in the pursuit of their wicked perversion. Again, many adulterers claim love as a justification for their immorality. And since love is of God, they acknowledge no great crime in indulging their lust that they perversely call love. All of this, and you could cite many, many more examples, all of this is because all too many people have forgotten the law of God. They have conveniently ignored the fact that God has laid down a series of very far-reaching prohibitions that remove any semblance of an excuse for man's sin. So the prohibitions have a very good reason for their existence. But having said that, we fail to understand the Ten Commandments if we see only their prohibitions. The Lord may have stated these commandments in a negative form, but certainly He means us to see their full meaning in a very positive way. That's why in the New Testament, when I say in the New Testament, this is where we get the summary statement. Actually, these are but quotations from the Old Testament. There's no discrepancy here. But that's why in the New Testament, you have such a bold statement that this one word, love, sums up the entire Ten Commandments, and therefore the entire law of God. The meaning of God's law is expressed by love. The Ten Commandments come down to this: thou shalt love God, and thou shalt love man. That is God's summary of the Ten Commandments. If you were to ask me to give you the entire duty that God has laid upon His creatures here on earth, I couldn't be more scriptural, more simple, or more succinct than simply saying, thou shalt love God, and thou shalt love man. The Lord never intended true religion to be a mere list of tedious do's and don'ts. He always intended that true religion be a matter of the heart. I want to make this statement to you, and I trust you'll never forget it, because there is the Pharisee in every one of us. There is in every one of us, whether saved or unsaved, that natural bent to Phariseeism. The unsaved man is the Pharisee in that he feels, if I can only do this little thing or that little thing, it doesn't matter what way my heart is, somehow I'm going to curry favor with God. I'm going to amass merit. God will accept me. That is Phariseeism. And even among Christians, we find this Pharisaic spirit that would take note of outward forms, that would take delight even in marking prohibitions and saying, I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't do the other thing, without any real interest in the heart, without any real love for God or for man. Do we not see this all too prevalently in our churches today? Is there not some substance to the constant criticism that is leveled against so many fundamental churches, that they may well have an interest in the letter, but they have less interest in the love? However that may be true of others, let us make sure before God it is not true of us. The power of all true religion is in love for God and man. Never forget that. The power of all true religion is in love for God and man. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, though I have the oratory of a Chrysostom or even of an archangel, Though I could move great companies of people and sway them with the beauty of the language, and had not love, Paul says, I am but a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If I had all faith so that I could move a mountain and do miracles, if I were gifted from God with such fervor that I would even give my body to be burned as a martyr rather than give up one iota of the Christian faith, and had not love, it would profit me nothing, and I would be nothing. The power of true religion is in love for God and man. The meaning of the law, thou shalt love. But equally it may be said that the meaning of love is settled by the law. Now this is a part that many people don't want to take any particular interest in. We hear ecumenical apostates or new evangelicals canting constantly about love at the expense of truth. A love that ignores truth. A love that will admit no barriers between light and darkness, God and Satan, truth and error. They say love is the great justification for the pursuit, for example, of a one-world church under the aegis of the Vatican and the Bishop of Rome. Love is what drives us to break down every denominational difference. But let me tell you, my friend, the biblical meaning of love is settled by the law of God. What is love? Love is a hearty obedience to the Lord's commandments. Let me make that clear. Love, scripturally, never flies in the face of the Word of God. Love never flies in the face of the commandments of God. Love never disregards the law of God. Love is a hearty obedience to the Lord's commandments. That's not my opinion. That's the statement of Scripture in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. There you see the power of love. The carnal man says this is so inhibitory. The carnal man cannot understand how we may willingly and joyfully walk within the definition set out by the law of God. To the carnal man, the law of God is denying him an expression of the lustfulness and the wickedness of his heart. But to the believer, to the Christian, the commandment of God is not grievous. In fact, it is pleasant. Because rather than curbing what we desire to express, it enables us to express it by restraining the corruptions of the old man.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.